Oh my God, I just walked out on podcasting with the Avengers. Why is that a bad thing? Earth's mightiest heroes are afraid to podcast with you. Because your geek history lesson on the Young Avengers is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Not Kang Inman. Welcome to your Mind University, because this is Geek History Lesson, the podcast where we take one character or one book and tell you everything you need to know about it in a little bit less than an hour. And today's episode is about a team that has been popping all up into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or the Marvel Plus Universe, whatever you call that on Disney Plus, whatever the name for that is. Anyways, there's been a lot of these characters popping up, and so we decided to talk about them. Ashley, who are they?
We are talking about the Young Avengers today.
That is correct. Yes, just because they've been popping up.
Because this team
is been popping up.
This team is coming. It is just a matter of
time.
When.
Mm-hmm.
And so since some of them have started creeping into the MCU, I don't know if they'll be called the Young Avengers. We thought now is the perfect time to highlight their excellence.
That is correct. And was this episode requested by any of our listeners?
Oh, yeah. Some of these requests are so old, they are Tumblr usernames with swears in them. So we will be adjusting accordingly. Our TAs for this episode include Go F a Rubber Duck. Except they actually wrote that word instead of the letter.
As the username. Alrighty.
I know it's Tumblr because it's all dashes in between them. Patrick McMillan, former GHL guest. Sharla K. Nolte, Ben Walters are our Young Avengers hardcore stands. Ben Walters also must have requested this in multiple platforms because his name is down there twice. So thank you for requesting Young Avengers, friends.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. What's next, Jason?
What's next is the 10-cent origin. That is where we're going to give you the Cliff Notes version, where if this is the only part of the podcast you're going to listen to, this is going to be the most informative. And if you go to a fancy cocktail party at the Avengers Mansion and Jarvis says, "Who are these Young Avengers chaps?" you can answer his question.
Yeah, so the Young Avengers are a Marvel Comics superhero team who were created by Alan Heinberg and Jim Chung. Their first appearance was in Young Avengers number 1 in April of 2005. I love it when it's just that.
Don't you like it when it works out just like that?
I do, actually, a lot. It's very satisfying. Members have included Iron Lad, Hawkeye, Hulkling, Loki at various stages in his development, America Chavez, Novar, Patriot, Prodigy, Speed, Stature, Vision, and Wiccan. And some characters have been portrayed in live action, most notably Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series and Xochitl Gomez in the upcoming Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness movie as America Chavez. But there has been Billy and Tommy have appeared and Eli has appeared as well. But those characters, those actors, we don't know if they're going to go on to be portraying them again. So a lot of them are cropping up in live action.
Yeah.
And that's your 10-cent origin on the Young Avengers.
Hooray!
Yeah. But before we go on to talk more about young superheroes, Jason has a superhero of his own that he would like to tell you about.
Yes. So, listeners, you know that we here on Geek History Lesson, we love superheroes and we love talking about superheroes. You know, ever since I've been reading comic books in Kansas for a very long time, I've been a big fan of superheroes like Superman and all of his Silver Age exploits and everything like that. And that is why I am so excited to announce that I am coming back to Kickstarter for my 6th project. And that is the 44-page Super Best Friend issue 2 comic book, my friends. Basically, if you're wondering, hey, what is Super Best Friend? Or if you missed the first Kickstarter round, it's what if you live streamed your best friend's secret identity to the entire world? Yeah, that's right, because this comic book follows young Maddie Moore, my Jimmy Olsen analog, who records the exploits of his best friend and superhero, Captain Terrific. And he has to figure out the 44 pages on how to put his best friend's secret identity back into the box. It is a fun comic book drawn by George Cambadais from The Black Ghost, lettered by Taylor Esposito from Beef Bros and Red Hood, and edited by Brittany Matter, who also edited Jupiter Jet and The Forgotten Radio. And we have a stunning variant cover by a former GHL guest and comics legend who might have worked on some titles like Superman, Captain America, and Booster Gold. I'm keeping it under wraps now because I don't know if it's officially been announced. But come over to Kickstarter and get yourself a really cool comic book. Help support my next comic book. And, you know, I guarantee you, you're going to have a sensational adventure for 44 pages. You can find it over at superbestfriendcomic.com. It should be all over my social media at Jawin. And basically, if you liked Jupiter Jet or the Jupiter Jet series and science, we know that you will love Super Best Friend. And you're going to want to make sure the Kickstarter launches on February 1st, and there's a lot of cool stuff that only is going to be on there for the very first day, including some exclusive stickers and some discounts, in fact. And you're going to want to make sure that you don't miss them. But basically, you've heard me talk on this podcast about Electric Superman and Cyborg Superman and all these kind of things like there. And all those things, all those loves of comic book, I have pumped into Super Best Friend. There's a lot of cool tiers, like there's a cameo. You can get yourself drawn into Super Best Friend. You can get a Zoom call with me. And you can even get an advertisement on this podcast for whatever you like within reason. So head on over to superbestfriendcomic.com. Help me make the second issue of Super Best Friend a real thing. It'll be there for 30 days and it'll be a lot of fun. So come on over, and I'm excited for you to help out. And if times are tough right now and you're like, hey, I can't help out on the comic book, then, you know, then just a retweet or a share on your social media is just as important as, you know, helping out. But I will say, like, the lowest tier is $5, and $5 gets you the 48-page Super Best Friend issue 1. That's like that's the most bang for your buck I think you'll ever get. Plus, you'll be supporting your favorite podcaster.
There you go.
I'm assuming I'm your favorite podcaster. So come on over there. February 1st over at Kickstarter, Super Best Friend Issue 2 at superbestfriendcomic.com. There will be a link in this description.
What's next?
We're going to be talking about some meet cutes.
So the meet cute, what's that, Mr. Jason?
Why don't you just tell us, Ash?
Well,
instead of just throwing it back to me.
Because traditionally when I host it, you intro it. This is where we stole a term from romantic comedy writing and we tell people where we first met these characters and how cute it was. So I'll go first. When this book first was publishing, I remember seeing a lot of art of Wiccan and Hulkling on like DeviantArt and Tumblr. And I really, really loved, I always really loved Wiccan's design. And then in 2013, right before the idea for Geek History Lesson really coalesced, Jason lent me his copies of New Avengers. And then after that, lent me his copy of Young Avengers. And I fell in love with them immediately. And then to do a very early action figure spotlight, he then gave me a Wiccan action figure, which I still have to this day because I just think Billy is the best. So, action figure spotlight.
Let's just do it now.
So that's my meet cute for the Young Avengers. It's all Jason all the time. What is your meet cute?
I don't remember what got me to read Young Avengers. I do know that I bought the trade for the first miniseries because I had heard that it was pretty excellent. I saw it recommended on a bunch of sites. But I don't remember exactly. But it was the first miniseries. It was basically the first
Sidekicks.
Young Avengers.
It's called Sidekicks.
It's called Young Avengers.
The first volume is called Young Avengers, colon, Sidekicks.
Yeah, yeah. The chapter is called Sidekicks. Like, it's not called Sidekicks. It's called Young Avengers.
No, the subtitle. The title for the volume
is
Sidekicks. The logo. It's a good logo, too.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, the Avengers logo is pretty solid.
Yeah, and this is just a take on the Avengers logo. Yeah.
I don't remember what, like, if it was a website or, I think this was after Wizard Magazine, so I don't think it was a Wizard Magazine thing. But, I just remember reading it, thinking there's no way it worked. And it really did. I mean, you have to give a lot of credit to Brian Michael Bendis here because this is in the fervor of the Avengers. Because when he kicked off New Avengers, there was about a decade where the Avengers were kind of the hottest thing in comic books. And they were trying to figure out, how do we spin off the Avengers and make more Avengers buckaroos? And this was one of them.
Yeah, and this one's good, too.
And this one, I think, because it's good, has reverberated with fans. And I think that's the whole reason why we're going to see a bunch of these characters in the MCU.
There you go.
So, all right, let's get to the History 101, the main meat of the lesson, where Ashley's going to tell us everything we need to know.
So, I'm going to kind of set up an overarching narrative for the first arc of Young Avengers, and then I'm going to go back and tell you the details of it. So, picture this. It's the era of Avengers Disassembled, which if you never read, don't worry. It means there's no Avengers team.
They all just basically blow up.
Yeah.
And Captain America goes, let's Avengers disassemble.
Yeah. So the Marvel Universe is stricken. They need heroes. And Jessica Jones, from if you listen to our Jessica Jones episode, episode 90, you'll know that she was like kind of a reporter for a while, works with the Daily Bugle and the Avengers, and they are investigating a new teen superhero team, which has made quite a stir because they defeat Kang the Conqueror. So they defeat Jonathan Majors, which is a pretty big accomplishment.
Well, not the actor, but yes, you understand.
I just think it's funnier to say it like that.
they defeat Jonathan Majors.
And
Stand down, Jonathan Majors.
It seems like a nice man, Jonathan Majors.
He does seem like a nice man.
And so you would think that, you know, the grown-ass Avengers would be pretty impressed and would want to train the kiddos, but they don't. Okay. So that's kind of the arc of the first Avengers team and first Young Avengers story. And I want to kind of tell you how we got there. So this is like a Breaking Bad episode. Like record scratch. I bet you can't believe how we got here. Jason, can you name the original Young Avengers lineup?
Okay. Well, they changed their name. So can I get a pass if I say like their later names?
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Patriot.
Yep.
Okay. Eli.
Yep.
Wiccan.
Mm-hmm.
Hulkling.
Mm-hmm.
Kate.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop, Iron Lad.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's the OG.
That's it.
Yeah. They kind of pick up a couple others along the way.
But then, because Elliot, is Patriot his first name or is his second name?
His name is Eli.
Eli, but is he always called Patriot? Am I wrong about that?
So I
thought he changed it.
They all have, for like the first couple issues, they all have like kind of silly names, but yes, he's always Patriot.
Yes. Okay. All right. My bad.
So that's okay. So if you ever wanted proof that Iron Man and Captain America are villains, instead of helping these kids, they literally take away all their superhero toys and refuse to teach them without their parents' consent, even though they do not extend these same issues to Peter Parker. I just want to say that. But luckily for us, they don't listen and the book does continue. So the team highlights Billy, a.k.a. Wiccan, and his boyfriend Teddy, a.k.a. Hulkling. They are founding members of the Young Avengers team. Wiccan, we don't know this at the beginning, is the son of Scarlet Witch in The Vision. You remember him from WandaVision. He's a cute little boy with magical powers. Hulkling is a bit of a mystery when we first meet him, but over the course of the series, we learn that Hulkling is first half Skrull, then you learn that he's full Skrull, and then you learn that he's like Skull royalty. But we'll get to that.
Do you remember what the other half was? If he's
human.
Half Skrull? Oh, he's supposed to be half human.
And then, so
we should explain, by the way, a Skrull is a shape-shifting alien.
They're the green ones in the movies.
That comes from the Fantastic Four.
Yes. So in his intro, he's a green shapeshifter with these kind of body morphing abilities who is arguably an alien. And they're boyfriends. And I think that's really cool. So, Jason, you read this pretty close to when the series was originally coming out.
Yeah.
I'd love it if we could talk about, like, the Young Avengers having a gay couple in 2005. Did you find this, like, weird or distracting in any way?
It was, I'll say this, and even though I think about it now, it doesn't seem that progressive. At the time, it was very progressive.
Yeah.
It was, I think, and I could be wrong. I know there had been other LGBTQA couples in comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one in Alpha Flight, and there's one. There was one. No, it was
North Star.
It
was X Men.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking about. So he wasn't in Alpha Flight, but yeah, there was stuff in North Star, and then there was, I believe, there was stuff in X Factor. So this not unheard of, but I don't think up until that point there had been. And correct me if I'm wrong, everybody. I'm certain I'm wrong. A prominent gay couple on a team.
So
on a mainstream team.
I wanted to ask you this because in my memory, they are the first like big league openly queer couple. And I tried to do research and the internet is split on whether or not they are or not.
Did they give any other examples about who else they think it might be?
I don't have it all written down.
That's fine.
But they were the first, from what I could find in my research, in an ongoing series.
I will say, Ashley, like I said, like I got this trade when it was first released.
Yeah.
Like the week it came out. I remember this being like they were the only ones.
Yeah.
I also remember it being, it didn't bother me at the time, but I remember thinking like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like this is where we are. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so other members of the team include Nathaniel Nate Richards. He kind of emerges as a co-leader of the team as Iron Lad. He is a time-lost young version of Kang the Conqueror. He travels back in time to stop himself from ever becoming Kang the Conqueror because, you know, in comics, that always works. And he lands at Avengers Mansion, which had been abandoned, following the Scarlet Witch's freak out and killing a bunch of people. Pin that moment, Scarlet Witch freaking out at Avengers Mansion, killing a bunch of people, because we're going to come back to it. He's also kind of a son of Vision in a similar vein to Wiccan. Inside the sort of desecrated Avengers Mansion, he finds an AI version of Vision that's being held by Stark Industries, because again, Tony Stark is a villain. And he downloads it directly into his own armor. It merges with him and becomes a part of his personality. And this creates the Iron Lad character and persona that we think of if you're familiar with the series. He is also joined by the other co-leader, Elijah Eli Bradley. He is the grandson, but my notes definitely say grandfather. He is the grandson of Isaiah Bradley. Jason, who's Isaiah Bradley?
Isaiah Bradley is the first Captain America.
The Black Captain America.
Yeah, from Truth, Red, White, and Black.
Yep. And so he goes by the name eventually of Patriot, kind of filling in that traditional Captain America role. The Young Avengers have two whole women on them, which for the time is pretty good for an Avengers team.
Well, it's only like what? They have only have five people, though.
Five or six, depending on if you count speed. Kate Bishop Hawkeye and Cassie Lang. Cassie Lang is the daughter of Scott Lang, the best Ant-Man, who shares her father's shape-shifting powers and takes on the name of Stature. And then a little bit later, we'll talk about when it happens in the story. They also pick up Tommy Shepard, a.k.a. Speed, who is Billy's twin brother. He's another son of Vision and Scarlet Witch, and he has speedster capabilities like Pietro, like Quicksilver, who is later a later addition to the team. He was not raised with his brother, and they don't know each other because it's debatable whether or not they're real people.
Okay, so we need to stop, or we need to slow down a little bit here because I think, so we're now in the second iteration of the team. We should make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just want to make sure because I'm worried because
I'm trying to lay out who all the team members are, and then we're going to go through the story of how they pick everyone.
All right,
out.
No, the problem with the first couple of arcs, Young Avengers, is that they're told out of order.
They're muddled, yeah,
and they're very Pulp Fiction style. And like, I just want to make sure that our listeners are like along for the ride. That we didn't lose them in the time.
That's fair. Is there anything you want to clarify?
No. I just thought, I was like, okay, now we're talking about the second generation of Young Avengers.
So the original team is the one that Jason laid out, and then they pick up Cassie Lang, Stature, and Tommy Shepard, Speed, and that becomes the 2.0.
Do you like those nicknames, those code names?
No.
I don't either. I've never liked Stature and Speed.
But I appreciate that they gave them names that actually have to do with what their capabilities are versus something like Hawkeye, which kind of tells you nothing.
Sure.
I don't think they're the worst code names we've ever had.
Well, it doesn't really tell you nothing. It's based on Last of the Mohicans.
Yes, and I know that like if you have a Hawkeye, you have good aim, but I think for a contemporary reading audience, I don't think most people know that.
That's fair, but I mean, I will kind of argument Hawkeye was created in like the 60s, so you know, I understand.
Absolutely, but they could have given Kate a different name.
If the character's name is Speed, you know they're a speedster.
Exactly. And if their name is Stature, you know they probably grow large because what they do with Cassie, which I appreciate, it's the opposite. Like Ant-Man's gag is always to grow smaller. Mm-hmm. Cassie usually grows bigger. So like they do kind of make her the same but opposite in that way. Mm-hmm. So I've laid out who all of these heroes are for you.
Yes.
Jason, do you know how Iron Lad got the original information to collect this group of heroes and protect a team?
From the Vision?
So, yes, you're not wrong. Okay. So when he interfaces with the Vision AI and downloads it into his body, there is something called an Avengers fail-safe program.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Which is kind of a copy of like a Batman thing, but it's fine.
Yep.
And it has a list of potential recruits. And these are the heroes that Tony and Steve had their eyes on, but they didn't think were ready to actively join the team.
Yes.
And so that's where like Billy and Teddy and all these people come from. So that's how Iron Lad knows to go out and knock on their doors and demand that they join their team.
Mm-hmm.
So, remember earlier when we talked about him being Kang and all of this and them fighting? Kang is like one of their first foes they fight. So they come out the gate fighting a big gun in the Marvel Universe.
A big league Avengers villain.
A huge hero.
Which, by the way, I want to point out, like, if you would like a primer for Kang, we could totally do that episode. But also, I'm going to tell you, if you have Disney Plus, and I'm going to assume, because I kind of feel like everybody in the world has Disney Plus.
If not,
now.
Skip ahead like a minute.
No, there's no spoilers here. I don't, know, I don't know why we don't skip ahead. There is a cartoon on Disney Plus called Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and they have like a three-parter or a four-parter where they fight Kang. And I honestly think it's like one of the best representations of Kang ever. And if you don't think he's a cool villain, go watch that Kang arc. It's really good.
There you go.
So he is, in my opinion, almost the Avengers Doctor Doom.
I mean, he's going to be an MCU villain. Like, that's how important he is to the overall Marvel canon. So when they defeat Kang, it leads to a bunch of unforeseen consequences, with Iron Lad being, you know, a previous version of Kang. Mm-hmm. So he becomes separated from his armor, and his armor is his corporeal form. So it's like his consciousness is being removed from his body, and his body is taken under Kang's control. And the Vision is able to help Iron Lad eventually, after they defeat Kang, reform his body. But there's too many issues with the time stream, so he's forced to make a responsible decision and go back to the future. So, like, Iron Lad is the strong leader who brings everyone on the team, rallies them around a single point, and then pretty quickly is cut out of the team. And they really feel like, in my opinion, when he leaves, like, they're cut off at the knees. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to tell you that he will show up later.
Yeah, I will tell you, this episode is, of course, our podcast is about spoiling things, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, and telling the history. I will say that I do think the team loses a step without Iron Lad. It doesn't feel complete with me without Iron Lad.
I agree, because there's nobody who kind of takes over his function as this sort of like tech head character.
Yeah, well, because then they all become like the young kids that are just like, you know, I don't want to wait to be a grown up Avenger. Like, they just like stumble around and they be kids. And it was kind of nice to have a man with a plan, even though he was also a kid. But he sort of was like, we should do this and we should do this and we should do this, which is also.
Well, he also had the benefit of having seen life through the time stream and traveled back and like future events. Like, he kind of has like precog ability.
But we should say that Alan Heinberg,
mm-hmm. Wonder Woman scribe.
Yes. Who wrote the first Wonder Woman movie. Brilliant script. He does a really good job of. He does fit all of these characters into their correct archetypes. Like, Iron Lad does act like Tony Stark. Like, Tony Stark mm-hmm. is always the, we should do this, we should do this. Eli is very much Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, for as much as she hates it, is Hawkeye.
Yeah, Billy is the Thor role. Yep. He's the magic mm-hmm. wielder.
Yes, and Hulkling is the Hulk.
Is the Hulk.
You know, like, so.
And Teddy is like that, even his regular personality. He acts without thinking, and Billy thinks too much without acting.
Well, and Cassie is very much the Hank Pym, mm-hmm. and then Speed is very much Quicksilver.
Very, yeah.
So, like, he found a way to give us all those archetypes without giving us exactly those archetypes.
The same, but different. So, which is kind of what you want in, these are legacy characters.
You are correct, and that's a very interesting thing, because like when we lose the Iron Man, I notice it.
I like Iron Lad too. I liked him a lot.
I will say this, and also Jim Chung did an amazing, that armor design is fantastic. If they don't put that in a movie, they're crazy. Anyways, for me, and I will put this out there, that's why Young Avengers has never gotten better than its first volume to me.
I agree.
Last week we were disagreeing about Wolverine stories. This week we're agreeing about Young Avengers. Anyways, please continue.
Iron Lad leaves. It's so sad. Up to this point, the Young Avengers had been operating inside the ruins of Avengers Mansion, but with their leader gone.
Yeah, second rock to the left and straight through the giant hole.
Exactly. Kate kind of steps up to act as a lieutenant alongside Eli Patriot. So they become the new leaders of the team, and she finds a new base and new costumes for the team, because Steve and Tony had taken their costumes away.
Can I ask you? Because they all get new costumes.
Yes, they do.
Which costumes do you like better, the first ones or the second ones?
2.0.
Oh, yeah?
2.0. Yeah, for sure.
I like their first ones.
No, I like it when I think of it as, I like it when Billy gets the coronet, like the small crown and not the mm-hmm. Thor helmet. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Ashley. Who do you think is the better leader of this team? Is it Kate or is it Eli? Or who do you want as the leader of this team?
That's very interesting. I think they're great as a duo.
Oh, like a Picard and Riker, yes. If you will.
Yeah. Like I've always thought of it as like Eli should be the face of it because Eli is the Captain America and mm-hmm. Eli is brasher and bolder, but that Kate is the real brains of the operation.
Okay. Well, she's technically the money too.
She is the money because mm-hmm. Kate's very rich, but also like I was a big. They have a kiss around this time in the series that I've always really liked their romantic tension, and I like the idea of them as a couple. So
okay.
to me, they kind of follow in the great tradition of like Scott and Jean or Reed and Sue of like a married or like a couple at the head of a team.
A duology that leads.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. I like it. I like it better. And it makes them different from the Avengers that way if they have two leaders or two co-leaders instead of just one person. So there you go. Okay. But sadly, Iron Lad was not the only hero struggling to remain part of the team. So Eli is really interesting as Patriot because he don't have no superpowers.
That's right.
He just has a costume and grit, basically, and a legacy.
True grit.
A legacy to live up to. None of the young Avengers tell their family what they're doing. And for Eli, this is hardest of all because he does come from this amazing legacy of Captain America. So he begins taking mutant growth hormone, which was a really popular thing in the Marvel comics in like the early aughts that I never liked.
It was. By the way, do you know who created it?
Should I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Brian Michael Bendis.
No.
Mark Miller.
Grant Morrison. Mutant growth hormone comes from the new X-Men run.
That does feel like a very Grant Morrison mm-hmm. thing to do. I've never liked it.
It works gross. In that run. The problem is that every writer for the next 15 years uses it.
Uses it to give somebody superpowers, yep. Which is exactly what he does. He uses it to enhance the powers so that they are on par with his grandfather and Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes, because otherwise it's a lot harder for him to stand next to Wiccan and Hulkling and stand as an equal, much less lead them. So Wiccan is the first team member, to discover this, although unfortunately he uncovers Patriot's struggle while they're in the middle of a fight with Mr. Hyde, which is like not the optimal time to learn that one of your team members is dosing and that they're having issues keeping up with you. Mm-hmm. The drama also shifts around this time to focus on Mrs. Altman. So she's Teddy's mom. His name is Teddy Altman. Because it is revealed that she's actually Kurt the Super Skrull. I don't know how Skrull names are pronounced. It's capital K-I-apostrophe-R-T.
I always thought it was Crit.
I don't know. So we're just going to say Super Skrull.
The Super Skrull is so awesome.
So Teddy's mom is a Super Skrull. So up to that point in his life, Teddy didn't know where his shape-shifting powers come from. And the confrontation of his mom being the Super Skrull brings a lot of understanding very quickly. The Super Skrull kidnaps Teddy and brings him to the Skrull homeworld. Jason, do you know what the Skrull homeworld is called?
I don't.
It is called Tarnax 4.
And this should be the second Skrull homeworld because if I remember right from my Marvel history, the original Skrull homeworld was eaten by Mr. Galactus.
Yes, I knew it was either eaten or exploded. There you go. So all the young Avengers go to space to rescue Teddy, who's been given a bunch of information by the Super Skrull, including such fun facts as Billy and Tommy actually being the lost sons of Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Okay.
And Teddy is also informed at this time that he is a Skrull prince. He's not just like your regular Skrull. He's a fancy Skrull.
Okay.
So when everyone is reunited and Teddy tells his teammates all of this, Wiccan believes him immediately about his lineage, but Speed does not.
Who cares? What does Speed have to... Why is Speed so bothered by this?
I don't know, because there's no proof except this guy is telling you and Wiccan believes his boyfriend and Speed doesn't believe his mm-hmm. twin brothers. They also don't look alike, to be fair.
Sure.
Even in the art, they don't look that much alike. But there's really no time to fight because then a bunch of Kree show up. And one of the rules of the Marvel Universe is the Kree and the Skrull hate each other, so they have to fight.
And the Kree are the blue aliens that gave Captain Marvel her powers.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So this naturally leads to the Avengers showing up. And there's a really great moment where Patriot gets to save Captain America by pushing him out of the way of a Kree energy blast and gravely injuring him. It's a great moment for Eli.
The epic push is always something great in comic books.
Oh, and it's great in movies, too, which is why we see it over and over and over and over again. So Captain America luckily is able to broker a peace between the Super Skrull, focusing around shared custody of Teddy, who was a minor at the time. And one of the reasons that he was kidnapped is it's time for him to start learning about his Kree heritage and share his, princely duties.
And be a real boy.
There you go.
And be a real Skrull prince boy.
So back on Earth, Eli goes to the hospital, right? He took this big energy blast. Mm-hmm. And he gets a blood transfusion from which of his relatives, Jason?
Well, I think you only see one of them, so I'm going to say Isaiah, his grandpappy.
Yeah, and why is this significant?
Because Isaiah is pumped full of super soldier serum.
Yeah, my note just says super soldier serum, baby. Mm-hmm. So while their friend is recovering, Cap takes the opportunity to tell the rest of the team to straighten up and fly right and stop being superheroes. Mm-hmm. And Kate gets to be really fabulous and point out to Captain America that if her team had had proper training, they wouldn't have wound up in this mess in the first place. And as a result of the blood transfusion, Eli now has superpowers,
yes,
which fulfills a desire of his and negates any future use of mutant growth hormone. Thank goodness. This does feel like a story point that was intentionally built toward over the course of the Young Avengers. But I will say, I do wish that Eli had had superpowers from the beginning.
You think you mean like he had just inherited them?
You could have told me, you could have even had him be like, I asked my grandfather to give me some of his blood so that I could become Captain America. Like, whatever. I both like this moment and think it comes too late and think it should have happened earlier. Because that is the weird thing about building an Avengers team is there's only so much room for people without superpowers. And Kate Bishop is kind of the best version of that. So I would have liked to see Patriot be in his full form earlier, but this is definitely like your growth of your leader into the leader that you really need him to be.
Okay.
So at the same time, Kate is officially bequeathed Clint Barton's bow and arrow and the mantle of Hawkeye. She's accepted as the new Hawkeye by the grown-up Avengers. Tommy gets a proper costume, his green and silver one for the first time, and names himself, well, agrees to let people call him Speed. So by the end of this storyline, yeah, they've kind of been calling him by that point. He's like, don't call me Speed, it's not my name. Tommy's a little piece of work. I love him. He's just little Pietro. He's so fun. And so by the end of this first two arcs, they finally become their most powerful and their best selves. And I don't know if they ever get better than this moment, unfortunately.
I agree.
The next big thing is Civil War happens. Jason, what's Civil War?
Civil War is basically a bunch of young heroes blow up Stanford, Connecticut. And because of that, Iron Man says, hey, all superheroes should register like the DMV with S.H.I.E.L.D. and work for S.H.I.E.L.D. And Captain America's like, ah, but I hate taking pictures. And Iron Man's like, you're going to take a picture. And Steve's like, no, I'm not. And so Steve says, we are going to declare war.
War we're declaring.
War is declared. and the superheroes of the Marvel Universe spend about 7 issues punching each other in the face.
Yeah. So under the guise of the Superhero Registration Act, which is what Jason just explained to you, S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, the spies, comes down from on high and arrests the Young Avengers, all these actual children. They escape with the help of former enemy Captain America and future Captain America, the Falcon. So as you can imagine, this leads to team members joining up with Cap's resistance group and being integrated into the team known as the Secret Avengers. One of my all-time favorite Avengers lineups, by the way, is the Secret Avengers. Cap has a sick team in Civil War.
Mm-hmm. He is the cooler team.
Definitely. Definitely for sure. They are a pretty minor part of the story, just in full transparency. Yep. Many of the characters only get really tiny moments in the big overarching narrative. For example, Wiccan is kidnapped when he is working, or he's kidnapped by Iron Man, who is working with Cloak at the time, and basically nerfed for the rest of the story because, like Wanda, he has the potential with his chaos magic to be literally too powerful to handle. Cassie Lang's father, Scott Lang, operating under the moniker Goliath, is killed during the events of Civil War by a clone of Thor. If you don't really know why there's a clone of Thor, don't worry about it. For the purpose of this lesson, listen to our Thor episode 185. Find out why there was a clone. And this leads directly to Cassie deciding that you've got to straighten up and fly right. You have to listen to authority. She registers as a superhero and joins Iron Man's pro-registration group and abandons her teammates, the rest of whom remains on Cap's side. So Yes, this means that Satcher does wind up fighting against her teammates in the final battle, and she is really big. And there's like, if you know where to look for it in the art, it's really cool to see them all. If you are a Runaways fan, which was also being published at the time, they fight along.
Very similar, too.
Very similar. Mm-hmm. It's basically the Runaways are the young heroes or the children of heroes who, they're the heroes, children of villains who reject their parents' legacy. And the young Avengers are the children of heroes and villains who embrace that legacy and want to make something better. The Runaways are literally running away from it. Mm-hmm. So pairing them up, they have a miniseries that's called Runaways Young Avengers Civil War. Pairing them up is very logical for the sake of this huge event that was going on like line wide at the time. So they fight together. They're both anti-Reg. It's a lot of fun to see some of the characters interacting in this way. They all take place in the last battle. Then what happens at the end of Civil War happens at the end of Civil War, and they kind of all go back as if nothing ever happened, because that's what happens at the end of events.
Well, yeah, and they try to do this thing called the Avengers Initiative, where it's like there's a superhero team in every state, and then basically 2 years later, every writer in the Marvel Universe forgets that that was a thing.
Yeah, and
even though it's a very interesting idea.
So I left that out of this lesson, because a couple characters from both Runaways and Young Avengers do
join up.
Get in, but nothing happens from it. So it would have been like two more lines.
Yep. It only
for not.
It basically lasts for 2 years and then everybody forgets it.
Yeah.
Even though I think one of the best Marvel titles, one of the sleeper stealth hits, I think in the Marvel titles of the last 20 years is Avengers the Initiative. And it has a really cool, it's about training the little heroes. It's really cool.
I agree. I definitely agree. The next big appearance for them is Secret Invasion. Jason, what is Secret Invasion?
Secret Invasion is where the Marvel heroes find out that a bunch of people that they thought were people are Skrulls, and the Skrulls try to invade Earth.
Yeah, so when the Skrulls first show up, the Young Avengers are apparently the only team in New York City, because they're the only ones who respond to this initial attack. Wiccan and Hulkling are taken prisoner by the Skrull immediately, and it turns out that they had come to pick up Teddy again because of his royal heritage. Mm-hmm. They try to secret them away, but they are ironically saved by Zavin of the Runaways, who is a fellow Skrull royal. So if you've enjoyed particularly the portion where we're talking about the Young Avengers and Runaways crossovers, you know that we have a Patreon. We love telling you about the Patreon. We've made some really close friends and collaborators over there, which is why we're always chatting about it. But this week for our Geek History Lesson Extra podcast, we are talking about teen heroes in the Marvel Universe and what that means.
Do they fit? Do they work?
Yeah. How do legacy characters stack?
Yeah, exactly.
So I hope you'll come and join us over there. Be part of the discussion. Let us know if we missed your faves. That's patreon.com/Jawin. You should know how to spell it. J-A-W-I-I-N.
Yeah, every single week there is a GHL Extra. Once a month, there is a Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures where we get into our personal lives. And then twice, sometimes three times a month, there is a Jason and Jeremy John About Justice League where me and my best friend Jeremy Skinner review every single episode of Justice League, the animated series. And we're finishing up season one as we speak. So we're hopping into season two, some good stuff. So come over there, get all the good podcasts in your ears and, support Geek History Lesson.
There you go. So the Young Avengers' next major outing is in what is considered the third volume of their initial run, The Children's Crusade. Jason, I would love it if you could tell our listeners a story about when you bought Children's Crusade.
So I bought Children's Crusade in 2013 at a comic book shop in Los Angeles called Blast Off Comics, because I would go there because they would have boxes outside and they would have super discounted trades. So I would always wait for the sales and buy it up. And I'd been wanting to read this, but I thought it was one of those. Look, Marvel of the day had been bumping their trades up to $35, which was crazy.
Marvel still has the most expensive.
Yeah. And so I was able to scoop this up for, I think, $10 or $5, something like that. And it was on Free Comic Book Day in 2013. And fun fact, that is the exact same day and the exact same shop that I met this person, this actress you might have heard of, Ashley Victoria Robinson.
There you go. So,
I bought that book on the day that I met you, Ashley.
And then I read it. So that's just very funny.
Yeah, I literally, like the first time I met you, I was like, hey, read this now.
Yeah, pretty
and you're
much.
Like, hey, I'm trying to read this now.
So the events of Children's Crusade are kicked off by the best young Avenger, Wiccan, whose powers had overloaded and fritzed out and were generally not working right. So mm-hmm. an important thing to know is, unlike Scarlet Witch, Wiccan's powers are controlled by speaking spells out loud. It's much harder for him to wield his powers using only his mental capacity. That's something that he really works toward in this first arc and then kind of perfects in the Marvel Now arc. So worried about Wiccan's powers and degrading mental health, the young Avengers solicit the help of Magneto and Quicksilver, Billy's grandfather and uncle, respectively, if you remember his lineage. And they go to Latveria to confront the Scarlet Witch and ask, what's happening to your son?
A slight little correction here. I just want to point out, Ashley, this is slightly before Marvel Now.
So. No, I know. This is no, but in Marvel Now, he learns how to control his powers without speaking.
Sorry.
I apologize.
Okay.
No, confusing.
I apologize. I was just like, Avengers Crusade, I think, is about 2 years before
two
Marvel
or three
Now.
Years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they arrive in Latveria only to discover that Wanda is engaged to who? Doctor Doom. Why? I don't know.
It actually happens more than you think. It's weird.
Wanda and Victor being engaged?
Uh huh.
Gross.
It happens more than once.
Gross.
I don't think the characters should really have any interactions with them, but that's just me.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So just in time for the Avengers to show up and ruin everything, they start a fight. So if you're noticing a trend here, it's that the adults usually show up in order to make things worse and more complicated for the young Avengers, which if you're a teen, that's how you think adults work.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're wrong. Then who should appear out of nowhere but Iron Lad? Remember him?
I do.
I was saying he would come
buddy,
back.
How you doing? Come on
you.
Back.
You look so cute.
Ah.
Jim Chung's still drawing the hell out
what
of you.
What
excellent,
have you been
excellent.
Have you watched Squid Games yet?
So he snaps up his former teammates. He snaps up Wanda and they hop their butts right into the time stream to fix her memories. Lickety split. How do you fix amnesia? Time stream. I love this because basically Iron Lad is back on the team for the immediate future. And
hi, team.
He's great.
I'm Iron Lad. Run! You know?
Yeah, truly.
<There you go.
laughs> Right. Now do it like the fourth Doctor.
So no.
So through the power of the time stream, everyone reemerges at Avengers Mansion. Remember we talked about mm-hmm. that? Minutes before Wanda had killed the Vision and a bunch of other Avengers in the past. Remember? And through wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey nonsense, this fixes a bunch of problems, including allowing Stature the opportunity to save her father Scott Lang's life.
Mm-hmm.
Wanda gets all her powers and all her memories back. She's able to help her son. And when Iron Lad blips them back to the present day from when they went to the past here, Wanda is able to restore the powers of everyone who lost them due to the events of M Day.
House of M, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the alternate timeline that we talked about a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. I think actually last week we talked about it quite a bit where Wanda said no more mutants and she blipped all of the mutants except for 198. Now, I also want to point out to readers that this idea of Wanda losing her memories happens about two more times between.
It happens every 6 months.
It actually just literally happened last month. I am not joking.
Yeah, the MCU was literally leading up to that.
In an X-Men book.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Basically, everyone at Marvel Comics wanted to give powers back to a bunch of characters that editorial said no. So at the end of the storyline, they all get to have their powers back through the power of chaos
magic. We can talk about this briefly, Ashley. What do you prefer? Do you prefer that there are... Joe Quesada did that. Because at the time he thought it almost seemed like there were more mutants in the universe than there were non-power mutants.
There's definitely too many mutants.
He's in there's 500,000, but I almost think 198 is too small.
It depends on what person, are we going with, it depends on the analog we're going for. Like if we're going for people, LGBT people, that's something 11% of the human population. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the allegory. I think it should be less than 100,000 though.
Okay, fair.
Worldwide.
I'm just curious where you felt it on that. All right, cool.
I fall on Wanda shouldn't be this powerful.
Mutants are back, baby!
Yep. But Wanda was still a criminal of the highest order, as you can imagine.
And we forgave her, just like in WandaVision, right? We said, yeah, here's a house and goodbye.
Well, not really. There's this huge conflict, in fact, between the Young Avengers, the Avengers, X-Factor, and the X-Men over who should prosecute her.
Wait. I'm sorry. There was a huge confrontation. But let's just, okay, everybody, there's one that isn't like the others here. Okay, ready? I'm just going to say this again. Here we go. The Young Avengers, the Avengers, the X-Men, and X Factor. I kind of feel like it's the parents, you know, like when you bring your when you bring your 1 week old boyfriend to the table, and they're just like, "What are you doing here? This is spaghetti night, Josh." Yeah, Josh. Not Josh. I'm talking to you, Josh. You don't belong at spaghetti night. That's who X Factor is.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm sorry. Continue, please.
So they're all arguing over who should prosecute her for her actions against mutant and human, humankind alike. So Scarlet Witch literally puts everyone to sleep. Just says, go to bed.
No more dreams.
She says, no more throwing me in prison.
Sure.
This is white woman privilege of the highest, so that they'll leave her alone. Shaq's back up with Dr. Doom and Latveria. Victor messes with one of her rituals and steals all of her chaos magic for himself.
All right.
Yeah. So, what else does a maniac with reality warping powers do but head back to New York City to demand that all the superhero teams based there follow his rule or be murdered? A huge fight ensues, as you might imagine.
It's comics, man.
And in order to stop Doom from taking over New York City, which as far as the Marvel Universe is concerned is the center of the world.
Well, and also for Doom taking over New York City, that's called Tuesday.
Yeah, really? Not just the Baxter Building this time, all of New York City.
That's Tuesday.
But in order to stop him, Stature sacrifices herself and becomes the first Young Avengers to die. For real, for real.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, it's such a bummer because I really like Cassie Lang.
Cassie's really cool.
A really good job at like juxtaposing her to Kate. She's really innocent and she's like got really strong belief. It was really sad when she died. So that's all to say. So just like they did with the Scarlet Witch, Iron Lad wants to go into the time stream and save Cassie from dying. But Vision's all like, nah. So then Iron Lad kills him. And then jumps into the time stream immediately because he has committed a murder and was afraid that this would lead him to becoming King the Conqueror.
It's the easiest way to
become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's also the easiest way to avoid trial.
Jumping into the time stream. Following Thatcher's death, the Young Avengers disband and certain characters, mostly Wiccan, Hulkling, and Hawkeye, pop up here and there in really minor capacity. The best thing that happens in the Children's Crusade is Billy and Teddy get engaged toward the end of the arc. It's really great. I love it. Jason, I know you're not super hot on the Children's Crusade.
No, I'm not.
I really like the story. I would love it if you would just tell people a little bit about why it's not your favorite Young Avengers moment.
The reason to me, well, okay, it's twofold, mm-hmm. right? So I was reading the Young Avengers in real time at that time.
Yeah.
And the Children's Crusade is the story that broke me of that. And the reason why it broke me of that is because I don't know if anybody, and again, this is a very weird first world problem where you're like, well, the comic books weren't coming out on time, you know, but this was when I was at my most Wednesday warrior, Wednesday, getting comic books, so excited, getting single issues, you know, and I've just, you know, in my older age, I've transitioned into a more of a digital kind mm-hmm. of reader, and I wait for the trade a little bit more now. But at the time, there was such a huge delay between Young Avengers Volume 2
mm-hmm.
and Children's Crusade, which is basically Young Avengers Volume 3.
It is. It's not titled that, but it is.
I don't count Young Avengers Runaways in my continuity. I just don't. It was fun to see them, but it didn't feel of the piece.
It's very much not, no.
There was such a delay. I think it was like 3 or 4 years
mm-hmm.
between the two. So I had a lot of expectations. And then when you read Avengers Children's Crusade, it's a Scarlet Witch story.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Young Avengers, the Children's Crusade. It should have been called Scarlet Witch and the Young Avengers.
Mm.
It is a Scarlet Witch story. It is not a Young Avengers story. And that's the reason why it is my least favorite Young Avengers story. Now, if you love it, that's fine. I will also say I enjoy reading it. I still own it.
Yeah.
And Jim Chung's art can make anything enjoyable. So there you go.
I mean, that's why they put him on the covers for everything.
Yeah. But, you know, it's so funny. We should... It's funny. We should figure out a way to get Jim on this podcast.
Sure.
He'd be a good time.
He would be a good time.
He'd be a good time.
He's a lovely
man. I mean, of the main Young Avengers trilogy, Ashley, which one's your favorite?
Probably the second volume. I think it's the strongest, but like I live for Marvel in the late aughts being like, yeah, these gay boys can get engaged. Like I love that moment so much. And I'm furious it took them like 10 years to actually get married. Like they're engaged and they're not sure. And they're like thinking about it for like a long ass time. But like Billy and Teddy are one of my favorite couples. I put them in my best Marvel couples episode that we did however many years ago. So like just because I ship them so hard, like it really means a lot to me. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Marvel Now happens. Jason, what's Marvel Now?
Marvel Now is basically Marvel's soft reboot where they threw all the issues to number one, and they took a lot of very distinct and different choices with a lot of their characters. Like Iron Man's armor suddenly was black. Captain America lived in another dimension. And the X-Men were the young X-Men from the 1960s some reason.
Yeah. Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey get a chance to bring together a new team that's kind of the old team, with Billy, Teddy, Tommy, and Kate having minor appearances in the universe up to this point following the soft reboot.
Can I interject in here?
Yeah.
Is this the Loki Young Avengers?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the game changer Young Avengers.
Yes. So Teddy had been operating in secret as Hulkling, and when Billy finds out, he feels betrayed, proceeding to use his magic to search the multiverse to find a reality where Teddy's human mom survived and bring her back to their 616 universe. So the readers know at this point that Billy's actions are truly motivated by Loki, teen Loki, hot sexy Loki at the time, manipulating Billy for his own gain. It should also be noted that Loki was only added to the Young Avengers lineup because of the popularity of Tom Hiddleston's portrayal of the character in the Thor franchise, the first installment, which had been released at the time. And this is post-kid Loki's death. So like I said, this is teen Loki. Loki had learned that in the future, Wiccan was going to go the way of his mother, Scarlet Witch, and become an Omega-level threat under the name Demiurge? Question mark? Fun fact.
I don't know who that is.
Demiurge is a deep magic Gnostic mysticism thing in its roots. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, quote, a being responsible for the creation of the universe. In Platonic philosophy, the maker or creator of the world. In Gnosticism and other theological systems, a heavenly being subordinate to the supreme being that is considered to be the controller of the material world and antagonist to all that is purely spiritual. So both the right hand of God and the devil, a Luciferian archetype, if you want to think of it that way. So all of this is to say, Billy didn't actually grab his fiance's mom from another universe. He grabbed a parasite that called itself Mother and looked exactly like her from another universe, which is like super convenient. And Loki was able to slip in and save the day and look like a hero in front of Billy and Teddy and plant the idea of starting a Young Avengers team. Kate Bishop had also appeared, bringing the team informally back together with the addition of Loki. Then they add America Chavez, aka Miss America, and Novar, the young Marvel boy. And a new Young Avengers team is officially created. This is the OG lineup for the Gillen and McKelvey team.
I think
team.
You mean the Grant Morrison Marvel boy.
There you go, Grant Morrison Novar. Marvel boy.
Woo!
I don't know. All Marvel boys are the same to me. They all look the same.
I mean, if you all, I mean, nobody would request this, but if you all want to request a Marvel
We have
boy.
Novar requests.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We definitely do. You can request whatever you want. We'll get to it someday.
I don't know.
We have 400 episode requests.
2025.
So Mother, the parasite, has been up to a bunch of nonsense since Loki last punched her in the face. And she likes to do things like resurrect and control dead parents and gather them in Central Park for funsies.
Because who doesn't love South Park?
Exactly.
Or, I mean,
South Park. I'm sure she also watches South Park. Loki gets Billy to lend him his powers for 10 minutes. So combined, their magic to defeat the group before he just blips away and leaves the new team to their own devices without giving his powers back. But he feels guilty and he talks to his inner child, who's the one that had recently sacrificed himself and died in Journey into Mystery, and then returns to the 616 to save the day with the team and defeat Mother once and for all. They forgive him for like the sixth betrayal of the arc and welcome him onto the team. Billy, an older, only in physical form, magician, agrees to train Loki to master his magic in the combative style in case another attack should come on them, as the Young Avengers decide, you know what we should do? We should travel to space together. You know what I don't like?
Again?
When Earthbound teams go to space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so not my... It's like when X-Men go to space, I check out immediately. While in space, another superhero known as Prodigy, a.k.a. David Alane, who's a former X-person, who possesses all the knowledge of everyone present on M-Day, we talked about M-Day already, joins the Young Avengers with the promise of helping them find a kidnapped Speed. Speed is kidnapped for a little while. It's kind of the only thing he does, and then he goes away for a while. It's really a bummer because I think he's a fun character.
Okay.
The Young Avengers chase a shape-shifting entity across the multiverse who had been wearing the disguise of Patriot. So they thought it was Eli, and it wasn't Eli. And it eventually leads them to a dimension that Loki stole Mother, the parasite, from in the first place. Hulkling gets left behind there, and while he awaits rescue, he turns over this idea in his brain that Loki had implanted. Did he really love Billy, or had Wiccan warped reality around him with his immense power and tricked him into having feelings? Because basically Marvel Comics had gay panic at this time and wanted to potentially break up the engagement or some other real BS thing.
Oh, it's so interesting because I think somewhere in this time period, either the next year or the year after that, that's when they finally let Northstar get married.
It's the next year. Yeah. It's like right after this.
And it's like it was the first like gay wedding in Marvel Comics history.
Yeah. And it made me really, really bad. So Teddy's stuck alone in space and he talks to Leah. Do you know who Leah is?
Can you spell it for me?
L-E-A-H.
No, I don't.
Leah is a servant of Hela. She's kind of Kid Loki's girlfriend. She's a really important character in Journey into Mystery, the one where Kid Loki shows up and then dies.
Okay.
For help about this type of magic, but she's evil. She works for Hela. So she tricks Teddy into letting Mother come back to Earth 616 and unleash evil versions of the Young Avengers into the universe. Wiccan is not able to harness enough power to take down Mother, so Loki ages him up to adulthood and exponentially expands his power set, which turns him into Demiurge, that big, scary Gnostic monster that Loki and everyone was afraid he was going to turn into like six issues before this. Mm-hmm. Leah and her dark Young Avengers are revealed to be a manifestation of Loki's guilt over killing his younger self. And it takes a lot of power and a lot of like yoga and meditation and crystals for Loki to forgive this. And it's not until Loki confesses that he feels this way and that he's sorry and that he is grieving that Leah and her team just dissipate. They disappear into the wind. Teddy is freed from his captivity and his doubt subsides, ending with Teddy and Billy reconciling and agreeing that they do want to kiss each other's faces after all. So like that's a play. The gay panic at Marvel Editorial comes down a little bit over the course of this fight.
Okay.
As Demiurge, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. I can't wait for the tweets. Billy is able to finally destroy Mother, who we pretended we had destroyed like four or five times now. Racked with guilt, Loki temporarily leaves the team, but he's back in time for the end of the series when the crew throws a New Year's Eve party. They appear in minor capacities moving forward from this in original Sin storyline. Shortly after that, Eli, with the encouragement of his friends, takes up the mantle of Patriot once again and formally rejoins the Young Avengers team. Billy and Teddy finally elope like 10 years later. Then they have a, quote, official wedding, end quote, during the event Empire, with big splashy covers and press releases that got a bunch of coverage and internet discourse because it was now the late 20 teens and we were moderately more okay with gay people getting married in superhero costumes. In Empire as well, we learned that Teddy is going to be like the God Emperor of Skrulls, so that is a complication. And this is where we're going to end our Young Avengers discourse because they do have a new series, but we try not to spoil anything super, super current. So,
are we going to have a discussion, Ashley?
We're going to have a discussion.
Can I ask you a question before we get the discussion?
Of course.
And if this is going to take away one of your questions,
it's fine.
I apologize.
No problem.
But I just wanted to ask you because it ties into what you were just saying.
Yeah.
Do you like or dislike that basically the Young Avengers in the Marvel Universe, almost 20 years later, mm-hmm. almost, I mean, like maybe 15 years later, aren't the original team at all? Do you like or dislike that?
You mean in their roster or like in their ethos?
It's basically not the original seven at all. Like, except for...
There's members, sometimes four of the original roster.
Yeah.
Okay, I will tell you this flatly. Mm-hmm. I really like Gillen and McKelvey as a creative team.
I do too.
I like a lot of things they've done.
And I even kind of like that run a little bit.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I do not care for pretty much anything that has been done to the Young Avengers except Billy and Teddy getting married post-Marvel now.
Yeah,
it's not what I want to see from those characters. Well, that's all. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not what I want. Like, they go to space. Like I said, I don't like it when Earthbound teams go to space.
Yeah.
They kind of lose their, we are looking up to the Avengers. Like, what's interesting about them is the thing to me that's interesting about Teen Titans. It's, can we step out of their shadow or can we live up to the shadow that they cast?
Yes. Well, I also want to, it's the idea of like, for me, I miss that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of weird. I understand like adding team members or taking a couple twos, but generally with superhero teams, it's only a thing of modern comics that this happened. You'll trade out two or three people, but basically the majority, like 75% or 50%.
Is that Magnificent Seven, yeah.
Yeah, would yeah. stay.
Yeah.
The stay the same. It's happened for the X-Men. It's happened for the Fantastic Four. It's happened for, well, Justice League is not, you know, it's kind of changed. But it's weird to me that, like, we are 15 years later, and the Young Avengers don't look anything like the Young Avengers looked 15 years
ago.
Yeah,
and there's two members on the team that I could do without.
And the thing I loved about the Young Avengers was that team. That's why I love them.
Yeah.
And they don't even look anything like, they're unrecognizable as the Young Avengers now.
Yeah, I have something I want to ask you, but I have it written down in the discussion. So right, let me do the recommended reading right. first.
I just wanted to bring that up. So everybody, if you are interested in some Young Avengers reading, go over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, and Ashley will have three choices there. If you want to expand your Young Avengers knowledge, you can click on it over there and you can go to Amazon and pick it up. We have a handy dandy link for you. Also, we have a really cool blog over at geekhistorylesson.com if you want to see. And there's a new post there every
Thursday.
Every Thursday.
New episodes
a new post.
Every Tuesday, new blogs every Thursday.
There you go. So Ashley, what can people find over there if they want to expand their Young Avengers reading knowledge?
So I actually have four recommendations for you this week.
That's not possible.
So I'm going to recommend Young Avengers Volume 1 Sidekicks and Young Avengers Volume 2 Family Matters, which is, in my opinion, the best Young Avengers stories. They're full-fledged by the end of this in all their glory. Then I'm going to recommend you Avengers The Children's Crusade.
Okay.
Which is The Children's Crusade. And then I am going to recommend Young Avengers Marvel Now Volume 1, because even though that run is not to my taste, it is really important in the history of the characters. And I think it's going to give you a more accurate reflection of how they're going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because Marvel doesn't like to throw back too far for their inspiration. So you can get all that at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading.
All right, cool.
Okay. So the question I wanted to ask you, and then we'll go back and maybe talk about some of the other things, is should the characters from the Young Avengers who are 20 years old, almost 20 years old now, they've been around for almost 20 years, should we see them grow up and become Avengers? Or should they be stuck in this Robin's Bart Simpson cycle of always being children?
All right, so I have to ask you the question here.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the comic books or are we talking about the MCU?
In the comic books.
Okay, in the comic books. All right.
Because obviously in the MCU, we have like a 27-year-old actress.
Well, and also those actors are going to grow
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like there's, if Tom Holland spends the next 10 years being Spider-Man, well, I don't know. He's pretty ageless because I was going to be like, I think.
He's in his mid-20s.
I think the last one is, it would be the idea, right? If they were still making Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies,
yeah.
At this point, you would have to do Peter Parker as the high school teacher because he's too old.
Well, or at least married dad, right?
Or something like that. Yeah.
Or Parker Industries or whatever.
Parker Industry.
Yeah.
You have to tell that story. But in comic books, yes, you get the Eternal Simpsons mm-hmm. of Bart Simpson is always in fourth grade. What I think should happen to the Young Avengers mm-hmm. is that I think they should always be young because mm-hmm. they're nobody's sidekicks. Think mm-hmm. about this. These are the Teen Titans without the Teen Titans. So,
I mean, Kate Bishop is the closest one.
Yes, they don't have to graduate. And they only did that Hawkeye series after the Young Avengers.
Yeah, I know.
And they've done two of them now where Kate Bishop, you know, because I think a kind of people were like, she kind of was one of the more popular ones.
And then she led the Hawkeye series.
And now she's in the MCU Hawkeye series. So I would keep the Young Avengers young because they don't have connections to most people. They have connections retconned. But if you were going to grow them up, I would think the farthest I would grow them up would be like a Nightwing level.
Yeah.
You know, like I would maybe, because like Nightwing is Nightwing, but he still kind of pals around with the Teen Titans sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the furthest I would take them because like, no, their role is as Young Avengers.
Because to me, it like frustrates me that like Billy and Teddy took so long to get married because like, I don't even know how old they're supposed to be, but like, you can't get married if you're under 18.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's
but
fair.
It's like, it's the sort of like
it's that revolving
dangling participle
door of comic
of,
books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, I do think there are some characters I would like to see grow up. But based on kind of the third and fourth iterations of the team, like, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in Loki on the Young Avengers.
Well, here's the easiest Marvel character to, okay. Cause I was just thinking about Franklin Richards. So Franklin Richards was born in 1968,
mm-hmm.
right? in current comic books continuity, and it was only because of the Dan Slott run, he has been aged up now, and he is 16.
Remember when a version of him came through from the future and he was hot and he had a beard?
Yeah, that happened like maybe less than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But now current Franklin is 16, and I think Valeria is supposed to be like 12.
Yeah.
Or 12 or 13. I think she's 13. It took 50 years for him to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. You have to think about in terms of, like, again, because comic books can't have endings.
Yeah.
Or the ongoing continuity can't have endings. So you can't grow these characters up. Although, I'll tell you what, I would read the hell out of an Eli Bradley Captain America.
But why, like, to me, I'm like, why not do it as a one-shot?
You could do it as, like, an Elseworlds
or like a standalone
timeline.
Graphic novel. Yeah, like, why not?
Otherwise, I kind of think, to be honest with you, comic books should be like Bart Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say it. There are Robins. I love Dick Grayson as Nightwing. But there is a part of my brain where I kind of feel like Dick Grayson should just be the young Robin, and that's the Robin that exists in comic books. And we should just, like, there aren't other Robins.
Well, you're never getting that back.
I know. But that's kind of where I think it should be. I kind of feel like mainstream comics should just, the ones that, like, are the easiest accessible, like the Young Avengers should always be 16.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, well, the next part is the teaching tweet. Jason, what's that?
The teaching tweet is where Ashley's going to sum up the lesson in 280 characters, and you're going to see it as a tweet on GHO Podcast.
The Young Avengers. All the promise and hopes for the future wrapped up in slicker costumes than their predecessors before.
I don't know. Iron Man has some pretty cool costumes, so.
I think Iron Man's
costume. Have you seen Iron Man's costume where he has the exhaust?
Yes, I have.
He has the exhaust pipes.
You have an X figure.
Oh, yeah, I do. Designed by Jim Lee. There we go. Hold on. Action figure spotlight. I do have an action figure of the Iron Man with two exhaust pipes.
Yes, you do.
We can share that on the social.
All right. Next is the honor roll, which is where if you go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever it's called now and give us 5 stars, we'll read whatever you write, friends. It helps other people discover us in the algorithm. And if you're an international friend, we can't see your Apple Podcast, so screenshot it and send it to geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. We have two people joining the honor roll today. First is Project RZ, who says, so good, all the stars. I've been listening to podcasts since before they were even podcasts, and this is one of my favorites of all time. It's right up there with SYSK and Armchair Expert. I wish it existed when I was a teenager. All people should subscribe to this podcast, and the host should stick with it until the end of time, then travel on a surfboard back to the beginning of the universe and do it again even earlier. Nice Silver Surfer reference. They are also joined by Comics Fun, who says, the spectacular podcast. I am Vengeance. I am the Knight. I am #Mercury. Yes. Which is one of my favorite reviews to date. Jason, what's going on in the teacher's lounge for these fine folks today?
Well, Professor Richards is over in the corner, and he is, wait a minute, hold on. There's Professor Richards over there, but I also see junior high school student Richards over there, and then in the corner I see old man Richards and they're stepping on Jeremy's sleeping bag. Jeremy Skinner, who lives in the teacher's lounge, co-host of Jason and Jeremy John About Podcast. Guys, get up.
Jason and Jeremy John About Podcast.
Hey I don't think they can come in the teacher's lounge. I think there's too many Richards in here. Now there's a girl Richards over here. There's a female Richard. Who? Oh, Ashley, there are too many people in here.
Okay, so Project RZ and Comics Fun, you have to call the Richards to come into the teacher's lounge.
Look, I'll bring you, just wait out in the hall until they're done, and I'll bring you a plate of cookies. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. This has never happened before. I'm sorry. But what has happened before is all of you subscribing and listening to our podcast everywhere you can find podcasts, and Apple and Spotify. We really appreciate it. Go subscribe, go download. And if you have a friend that loves the Young Avengers or excited about Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, and the MCU, please suggest this lesson to them. It's the easiest way that we grow our podcast is by awesome My University students like you suggesting our podcast to other awesome people. Ashley, where can they follow this podcast on social media?
You can find us at geekhistorylesson.com. We got that fancy new blog, so check it out for supplementary content every Thursday. facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at GHLpodcast, because they have character restrictions, or on our brand spanking new Instagram full of memes at Geek History Lesson.
And don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin, that's J-A-W-I-I-N, and go check out superbestfriendcomic.com. The Kickstarter is will probably be live by the point you're listening to this. And if not, you can click on the little follow button and check it out and help me make my next comic book all about a cool superhero. Ashley is on Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson and on Twitter with the same designation, and she's got a cool project coming up, so make sure you go follow her over there. And now we're to hashtag stick around, where we make sure you stuck through all of our plugs and all the other awesome stuff we're doing. Ashley, what are we talking about?
One question for you.
Okay, one answer.
Do you care if Speed ever comes back?
No, not at all.
They do Tommy so dirty.
Okay, hold on. Of the twins, I thought Tommy was Wiccan.
No. Billy is Wiccan.
Billy is Wiccan.
Tommy is Speed. Teddy is Hulkling. That's why it's confusing.
Too many confusing Teddy and names.
I'm convinced at some point in this lesson, I confused Teddy and Tommy. Even though I really tried not to, I'm convinced it happened.
That one point where I stopped you, at one point where I was like, where you were getting all the time travel shenanigans, that might have been what it was. Because there was a point, and I apologize again, Ashley.
It's okay.
But there was a point where I was like, I've read this story and I'm confused.
So it's wild. So like I have read these stories multiple times. I reread them before this and sure. I was like, to try and break this down is really hard.
It's like doing a geek history lesson on the Legion of Superheroes, right? Right?
No, that was way harder.
That was so impossible.
No, it's like doing, who was that guy from Supergirl who I hated?
That doesn't narrow it down at all.
He was not Superman. That whatever.
Not narrow it down
doesn't
at
matter.
All.
Anyway, he was a Legion character with a red suit.
You mean Mon-El?
Mon-El. I was like, it was something L. That was confusing.
Yeah. You probably did. And you know what happens, everybody? That's the business of podcasting. Stuff happens in the air. I flummox promotions for my own comic every day. It happens. It's all good.
Look, what am I?
Do you want Tommy to come back? You want that little speedster?
I do. I like Speed.
Brat to come back?
I like Speed. I think there's a place for him. I don't think it's on the Young Avengers.
Where would you put him?
I would probably put him in an X book, honestly.
Really?
I would put him on like a New Mutants or an X Factor.
Here's a crazy question.
Yeah.
Here's an even crazier question.
Sure.
Is he a mutant?
Well,
because technically,
when they were created, they were mutants.
But now Wanda is not a mutant.
Yeah.
Which is so dumb.
I'm going to say
this. I don't
this.
Like that.
Marvel, that's not true. Yeah. Wanda is a mutant and will forever be a mutant.
They've sort of, like, they did something. Yeah, I don't even want to get. That's,
no, we, no, the, no, no.
She's a mutant.
No, no.
She's a mutant.
She's a mutant. She's the daughter of Magneto. Fight me on Twitter.
Ashley, there's another Richards that just popped up in here.
Well, the culling hasn't started yet.
There's another. Oh my God. There's two. We got to end this podcast.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Jason Richards Inman. I've become a Richards.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robbins.
And Professor Ashley, why don't you close out this podcast before the Richards take over?
Class is now dismissed.